Hello, I'm Daniel Davis, and you are listening to the Gospel Project for Adults weekly leader training podcast. This week we are on Unit 32, Session 4, titled Imprisoned for the Gospel. A year has passed since Peter's report and appeal to the Jerusalem church to accept God's salvation of the Gentiles, which they did because they couldn't deny the evidence of the Holy Spirit in saving the Gentiles. Luke provided a few details of what happened in that year, catching back up with the ministry of Saul, whom we know as Paul. Luke also included the fact that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The stoning of Stephen in Acts 7 caused many Christ followers to scatter from Jerusalem and Judea to avoid persecution. Their relocation served as a catalyst to spread the gospel message beyond the mostly Jewish regions surrounding Jerusalem. But persecution continued. Yet God remained faithful to be with his people in their suffering, and sometimes even to deliver them from it. On one occasion, God responded to the church's prayers and delivered Peter from prison. In point one, we see the church's example of praying to the Lord for deliverance. Before we get deep into the session, and even begin to think that suffering is somehow antithetical to the Christian faith, we read that Herod attacked some from the church, and he executed James, the Apostle John's brother. James was one of the first disciples Jesus called to follow him, and having continued to follow his resurrected Savior, his life on earth ended with the swing of a sword. Like Stephen, a faithful disciple was tragically martyred, and from their examples, we should take it to heart that continued life on this earth as a believer in Christ is not a guaranteed thing. We are to count the cost when we place our faith in Jesus, and we should make no mistake that the cost is always our lives. Christians, submit our lives to God's will and ways. We are no longer our own. And like Jesus, some will lay down their lives in their faithful pursuit of ministry and missions. But the promise from Jesus in Mark 8:35 remains, "Whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it." Like a child who does something cute that receives applause and laughter from adults, and then the child repeats that action for the same response, Herod saw that his execution of James pleased the Jews who saw the church as their enemy. So he thought to do it again and arrested Peter, no doubt with the intention to execute him in the same way. In the meantime, Herod assigned 16 soldiers to guard him. Herod did not want his trophy getting away. So the church did what the church knew to do. They prayed to God for Peter. Herod was a king with authority over the region and its people. Peter's life was in Herod's hands, and Herod was intent on Peter's execution. But Herod couldn't hold a candle to God's authority and power. It could have been that, as with Stephen and James, God could have allowed Peter's execution. And indeed, Jesus had foretold Peter's execution as a future destination. But this was not to be his hour of death. The church prayed fervently to the God who is in control, and God would respond with a miracle. Our prayers may not meet miraculous ends, but the key doctrine for this session on prayer and providence encourages us to pray to God who is sovereign, good, and faithful. He responds to our prayers in his grace and in his wisdom, and he works through our prayers to change our hearts so we conform to his heart. In point two, we look at Peter's experience of literally following the Lord for deliverance. Remember that Peter was being guarded by 16 soldiers, four squads of four soldiers each. Two of those guards were chained to Peter, one on each side, while others were guarding the door. And on the night before Herod was going to bring Peter out to present him to the Jewish enemies, Peter was sleeping. We can't help but be drawn to that fact. On the night before his planned execution, Peter is sleeping in his prison cell. More than likely, this reveals the faith and trust Peter had in God, whether or not he would be executed the next day. But as God would have it, that was not to be the end for Peter, not at this point in his life. God sent an angel to get Peter up and lead him out of the prison. Chains dropped, doors opened, 16 guards remained asleep or oblivious, and the angel led Peter out into the street and then disappeared. Even Peter himself wasn't sure what was happening, thinking he was seeing and experiencing a vivid vision. But every stage and step of this divine prison break was happening in real time, revealing once again that no plan or prevention of man can prevent God from accomplishing his will. God, in his perfect will, desired that Peter would go free and escape execution at this time, and God made it happen, despite chains, doors, and guards. God does not always deliver his people in such ways. John the Baptist was imprisoned and later beheaded. John Bunyan, quoted for the Voice from Church History in the previous point, was imprisoned for 12 years because he preached the gospel as a Baptist by conviction instead of conforming to the Church of England, and he refused to recant this position. James was executed outright, and Jesus was crucified, though he prayed fervently for that cup to pass from him. Yet he desired more for God's will to be done. We ought not bank on an earthly deliverance from our struggles and troubles based on this narrative, but we are taught and reminded that God's will be done, and no human efforts can stop him from delivering his people in his timing. In point 3, we see an example of praising the Lord for deliverance. The first part of this focal passage is like a scene straight out of a sitcom. Peter realizes that he really has been freed from prison by the angel, and he heads to the house of Mary for immediate refuge. He knocks on the door, and Rhoda, a servant, goes to the door. She recognizes Peter's voice, and in her joy, leaves Peter outside the gate and goes to tell all the believers inside, who are gathered and praying, that Peter is outside. They don't believe her, telling Rhoda that she's out of her mind. Though they had been praying for Peter, it seems they weren't expecting an answer involving Peter's freedom in the middle of the night. Whatever they were expecting, because of Peter's continued knocking, they finally answered the door and found Peter standing there as Rhoda had said. Peter then recounted the events with the angel and instructed the believers there to pass those details on to James and the brothers. This James was not the one who had been executed by sword, but Jesus' half-brother, who became the leader of the Jerusalem church. Peter then went on to another place of safety. The disciples were amazed to see Peter free, no doubt praising God for his sovereignty and grace toward them and Peter in this matter. And rightly so, as Peter's death would have been mere hours away. The punishment that was intended for Peter instead fell upon the soldiers, who were supposed to be guarding Peter and seemed to have let him escape. They were executed by Herod for failing in their duty, though they hardly could have stopped God's angel from leading Peter to freedom. When Peter was arrested and put in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. God miraculously delivered Peter, but the church failed to believe he had been rescued at first. It was just too good to be true in their minds. But Peter had indeed been rescued, and he would continue to bless the church through his Holy Spirit-empowered ministry in the years to come. In a similar way, Jesus had taught his disciples that he would die and be raised again, but they too failed to believe at first. Yet when they saw and experienced the resurrected Savior, their faith increased, and they turned the world upside down with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because God's love, power, and sovereignty are proven in the resurrection of Jesus, we believers today should pray with anticipation that God will work in us and through us as we seek to make Jesus known in the world. Thanks for listening to this week's Leader Training for the Gospel Project for Adults. For more resources to help you focus your ministry on the gospel, please visit gospelproject.com.